You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. No, that wasn't lightning. That was a sip of Tim Horton's coffee. It felt like lightning in my mouth,
but it wasn't lightning. To all of the, not hillbillies, but all of the mountaineer people, You just were drinking white lightning. So I don't think you want to say that.
Well, I feel good, y'all. I feel good. So what an exciting couple days I've had of late.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I am in Indianapolis, Indiana, home of the Indianapolis 500, and some pretty severe thunderstorms.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, as we record this. This will be in the past, but some of you saw my post. I'm here at Faith Baptist Church and with Jonathan Dellinger, a faithful listener of ours, by the way.
Amen.
Shout out to him. And some of the good people here, he's actually got some people in the church. He announced that I'm doing a revival, and he announced it the first night. Hey, you need to listen to Tim Talk. So thank you for that. We really appreciate that. And so he said, hey, a bunch of guys are going to go out to one of our members' house, and we're going to do some shooting. Do you want to go? And I'm like, yeah, anytime I get to shoot a gun. I mean, we don't get to shoot a lot of them in Canada, not handguns anyways. And he said, I've got a 9mm, and some guys have some other ones, and, you know, we'll have a good time. So we go out and we're having a good time, and all of a sudden the clouds start getting kind of dark, and man, the temperature drops severely. And, you know, one of the guys said, I think I just felt hail. And I thought, man, we're going to have a tornado right here. And so we're shooting, and the preacher says, go ahead and finish up. It's going to come down here in a minute. It's going to be a downpour, and let's get the guns in out of the rain. So we finished, you know, making some shots. So I put a gun in the truck, and I went back to get the ear coverings. And I kind of put them on, but I didn't put them on all the way. And then all of a sudden, kabam! Oh, my goodness. I thought, man, somebody's shooting a massive shotgun or something blew up. And as I thought that, I looked, and I see this bolt of lightning hit a tree 45 feet away from me. I'm standing next to a lawn tractor 45 feet away. The bark comes flying off the tree, sticking in the ground. I'm standing there. I'm like, I didn't know whether I should run or if I should check to see if I'm in heaven or what. Yeah. Oh, my word. My whole life I've said, I want to see something get struck by lightning. I wasn't thinking me, but I thought, man, be cool. It was awesome. 300 million volts in a lightning strike. I think it's 30,000 amps. It was so cool. And it split the tree on three sides. I mean, it's amazing. It was, oh.
Wow.
It was something. So then we're there, and one of the guys, the guy that owned the property, his name's John. John's a great guy. John lost his leg. He was cutting the grass at church. He bumped in. He was putting the tractor away on a trailer, and he hit his leg real hard on the trailer. And he thought, wow, that's going to leave a mark. And he went home, and he said, and his foot started to turn red, and it started moving up his leg. And so he called the doctor, and the doctor said,
the redness, not the foot.
The redness, right? Yes. Yeah, the redness.
Moving up his leg.
Thanks. Wow. That'd be something. That'd be something. So he called his doctor and said, hey, can I get in? And the doctor said, yeah, a week from Thursday.
Oh,
so he said, oh, okay. And so his wife, after a couple of days, said, you need to get in the hospital. You need to go to the hospital. So he went, and he walked in, and the girl just looked and ran for a doctor. And the doctor came in and said, I'm sending you for surgery. Yeah, gangrene.
Oh.
And it was creeping up his leg. Wow. And the doctor said, if you'd have waited till Thursday, you'd be dead.
Wow.
So they went in, and they amputated his foot, and they came back a couple of days later and had to amputate just below the knee. And lost his leg. Great, great testimony of, you know, no anger, bitterness, sorrow, nothing like that. He just said, well, you know, that's what the Lord gave me, and I'm going to go on. So great testimony. But So now he's got an artificial leg. He's got a prosthesis. And he's out there, and he's kind of running around while we're shooting stuff. And the pastor got his truck stuck, and he had to pull that out. So he's on his lawnmower, and I don't know what he was doing, but he's riding his lawnmower. And we look over, and here's John. His artificial limb is on the grass sliding like he's water skiing. His other leg is stuck on the tractor. He's falling off, and he can't get back on the tractor. And I'm thinking he's going to fall off and cut his other leg off.
Oh, man.
So here's this going on. I mean, it was incredible. We get back to the church. We have the service, and the pastor announces, we've just gotten a tornado warning. Everybody, you should probably go home right after church and, you know, be safe. And so after church, we see the storm coming in, had gone around the church, but following it was a massive storm with lightning strikes everywhere. I'm standing outside watching, you know, the storm, and another lightning strike comes down about 300 feet away. I see it hit another tree. It's like, wow, yes. What is going on? It was incredible, man. It was one of the most exciting days
one,
I've had.
You know, storm that was really supercharged and super packed. They were like 200 and 300 lightning strikes every minute, you know, within that storm. Because normally we get Indianapolis weather about 12 to 18 hours later. And we got Indianapolis weather about 3 hours later. That's how fast that storm
was moving. It was moving. Yeah, it was incredible. So, unfortunately, some people did lose their lives.
Yes.
We're always sorrowful for that. Brother Steve Clayton told me that a family in their church lost their home. They survived in the basement as the home was ripped off. So, so praise the Lord, they're okay. But, yeah, wow, that was exciting. So, can you trump that?
Yeah, I can. You were talking about getting to shoot handguns, so how's that no handgun thing in Canada working out?
Well, for us it works.
It doesn't, but, because the Toronto police yesterday, the police told the residents that the best thing they can do is to leave their car fobs at their front door. Because gangs have been stealing cars, and they're going to break into your house, and all they want is your car. So just have your car key at the front door so they won't come in and hurt you. Because he said they have guns, and they're real guns and not toys. So, you know, and the point was they have guns and you don't.
You don't.
So just give them your car. Plan on keeping your car keys at your front door. Because whenever they burst in, you know, that's the best thing you can do. That is the best thing you do. Not protect yourself, but just give your car away. So
I know. I'm ashamed of our country. Our prime minister, again, the rate of carjackings and thefts have gone up astronomically since he's been in power, because he's wanting to take away any firearm at all. We still have rifles, and I know some guys that do have handguns. They don't use them. But they've got them. But, yeah, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I did not hear that report, so thank you for that. But, it's crazy.
Yes, it is.
And I don't know what we're going to do. It's gotten so far out of hand. So we're thinking about having the illegals from your country just come right over the next border, too. And maybe they can help, take care of some of the
insurrection.
Thugs.
Oh, wait, no, I didn't say that.
Maybe we can get another gang bigger than the gangs we've got to help us. Hola, amigo. Here's my car keys.
You know, when people can't defend themselves, all it is, you just swap out one group of criminals for another. That wind up leading and being in charge.
Yeah. Well, I think you have bigger news than that, don't you?
Well, possibly. I was asked to open in prayer for a Bernie Marino and Donald Trump rally. So by the time this airs, this will have been last Saturday. And so, you know, I get a whole 2 minutes to pray, and so I don't know how I'm going to fill that up, because I'm normally just go about 30
time?
Seconds. So
I know. Wow. Wow. There'll be a little repetition, I'm sure. How many times will we hear the name Trump in a prayer? I just hope Jesus gets one more.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a great opportunity, though, man. That's awesome. That reminds me of my father-in-law when he got to pray for Ronald Reagan when he came to Cleveland
all those years ago
in the 80s. I have the letters. I still have the letters that Ronald Reagan wrote to him, awesome. Thanking him for doing that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. That's really neat. So, well, that's neat. You could be a running mate. Who could tell?
I mean, exactly.
Once he sees you and meets
sure.
you, you'd be all over it.
Well, you know, he's listening to Tim Talks all the time.
If only. Oh, he's on it. He's getting the pulse of the people right here, my friend. This is his international policy right here. If only you were a black Hispanic woman. You'd be in.
Black Hispanic woman.
You'd be all over it.
I'll just show up in a dress.
Oh, boy. I wish I could say that'd be a first. I've seen some skits of past. I'm getting a visual. I'm getting a visual. That's great. Oh, my word. Well, it's going to be one of those weeks, I think.
Yes, probably will. I will tell you, yesterday I had an awesome day. I had an appointment to speak at three different classes of seniors at Worthington Kilbourne High School, a local high school in the area. A co-chair of their sociology department always has an elective senior class where they, I forget it, it's a long name, but it has something to do mm-hmm. with, the extremes and polarization, in government and society. And so they have people in from, both sides of everything. And so they're going through the LGBTQ community and laws and such, and so they wanted someone to come in for the conservative side. I think he had a little bit of difficulty finding somebody, but I had a great time with those teams.
Awesome.
It was really good.
I know how you struggle with big words, so if you want to write it down and show it to me, maybe I can say it for folks and kind of help them out. You kind of stumble over those a little bit, so
yes.
I can help you. But
there you go.
I love those opportunities.
Oh, it was great.
What was the feeling of the young people, do you think? Were they
well, that teacher has done a great job preparing them to be polite, to be considerate, because they're going to hear, opposite views from everything. And so I think the questions were great. And most of the questions I got were often about Bible. And these, because mm-hmm. I started with the premise that I trusted the Lord as my Savior as a young child, and then around 13, I tried to explain what it was like to be called to preach. You didn't hear any voice from heaven, and so then, in my college years and just out of college, I had to try to decide what kind of preacher do I choose to be, and it was really neat mm-hmm. because I said I just basically determined that I would choose to be an independent biblical Baptist. And it was so cool. They all had to take notes from here and there. And it was so neat whenever I said that, all the heads go down and the pens start working, independent biblical Baptist. I thought that was pretty cool to see. And so from there, that the Bible is our basis of mm-hmm. everything. And so as people would ask different questions about what's the difference between Baptists and all the other Christian sects, And, I mean, it really was an awesome, awesome time. I had this PowerPoint presentation done, and it didn't work. And so I wound up doing just like a discussion time interaction, and it wound up being so much better. So now I know why it didn't work,
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I would love that opportunity. I think young people today really do want to know the truth.
I think so.
I think they're open.
I think so.
I think they're open to ideas, and they hear so little about our side of things. Mm-hmm. I think it's an awesome opportunity to share with them those things. So
one young lady after class, she was talking to me, and she said, I am a lesbian girl, And she said, and I really appreciate just your honesty. And I really, I'm really surprised because I like you. You're a nice person.
Yeah.
And
right.
I was completely thrown off on the fact that, you know, that you joke around and that you actually smile and are kind. And she said, I wasn't ready for that. You know, so,
wow.
So I would encourage all of us to remind ourselves how we treat people. You know, it's so very, very important.
Yeah. Well, when you told her you were wearing a dress to the Trump rally, that probably really set the tone.
I got some brownie points there.
One of the boys said, I'm really surprised. You really threw me off.
But it was,
are you going
it
floral
was
print?
Awesome. It was really awesome.
Yeah, that would be.
And of course, we both love teens. I mean, we really do. And so we love being around them. We love interacting with them. We're basically not afraid of them. You know, I was nervous to get started in the class. But, you know, once I got going, it was just great. So praise the Lord for opportunities like that that come our way.
Right, right. That's awesome. Wow. That kind of, you know, there's a lot of kidding around there, but there are some things said there that kind of take us into this week's topics. And we're gonna do, I think, three things this week if we can. I've had some people approach me of late, some young people especially, who've come to me and said, I'm struggling with overcoming some things, and I wonder if you guys would talk about it. And we're always happy to take the suggestions that our listeners give and try to cover those. A lot of great feedback from the Calvinism Week.
Yes.
And also the Flat Earth.
I had a few people contact me about the Flat Earth,
yeah.
And they said that it was I was surprised how many people have met people that are taken up with that. I was surprised by the response.
Right, right. So great response. And then, again, I am so awestruck sometimes at the number of people say, yeah, we listen to your program, listen faithfully, and they give me the programs back, and I'm like, wow. And we have some stats that tell us how many, but it's when it actually materializes, it's pretty exciting to think of the number of people that are actually listening to two goofballs who cut around with us. But so say all that. Here's one of the things that they talked about. Well, actually, I'll give you all three. So one of them was anger. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling with anger. I can't get over something in my life. Another one was bitterness, that anger has gotten so far they become bitter, maybe even at a church or, you know, religion as a totality. And then the last one was, and I'll try to keep it that one a little more serious. I had a young man. I was just in a meeting in Michigan, and a young man approached me and said, I lost my dad, and I'm really struggling. Mm. It's been over a year. And he said, I'm still kind of struggling with that. Would you help me with that? So I said, yeah, we would do that. So, and we've done that before. We've covered that before. But
a year again, is still fresh.
Right.
Really.
And it is. And it was tragic. It was a tragic loss. And so I just think it'd be good. I think there are a number of people that really have that issue, and it'd be good to do that again. So we'll do that maybe on Friday.
Yep.
So, and we have some more shout-outs coming this week. I got some other people I need to say thank you to. So good. All right, so let's talk about the anger and how to overcome that. And I found in some reading this morning in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. I think the first thing we have to say is that you have to stop it before it starts. You have to stop anger before it starts.
Yes.
And you have to sense that coming. You have to know, you have to feel that that's coming and be aware and immediately deal with that. If you don't, if you let it fester, it will almost destroy you. And we're talking going from anger to bitterness. That bitterness will eat you up. And so anger. And, you know, I've been angry. I'm just be transparent. I've been angry with some people. I've had some people do things and say things while I was, you know, serving as a pastor, and even now as I travel, people say things, and you get angry. It's a natural thing in the flesh, but it's not good for us. How do you deal with anger, brother?
First of all, anger in itself is not sinful, and that has to be understood. Whenever Saul heard about the Philistines invading his country as a brand new king. The Bible says, Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he hewed a yoke of oxen in 12 pieces. So, you know, if you've ever been to some kind of a butchering place, that's no small feat. He was angry and said, we are going to take care of this. That's a good thing. Moses, whenever the people grieved him, he got angry, and instead of obeying God, he disobeyed God. Instead of speaking to the rock, he hit it. And so, now God had to judge him for his anger. And so most of our anger is sinful anger, and it's not a righteous indignation. It's good to be angry at things that God is angry about. And so that is not an issue. But you're right. We really have an issue with anger, and some people have to deal with it more because they've got a shorter fuse, because they get angry much quicker. I, by nature or by personality, whatever it is, I usually don't get angry quickly. And whenever I'm not walking with the Lord, I do get angry quickly. And that's one of the signs for me, hey, buddy, you need to get back in the book and get on your knees, you know. So by nature, I normally don't. There are a few things that, you know, immediately set me off, you know, trying to protect somebody, or, you know, when somebody is just being so injurious to somebody that can't help themselves, you know, like maybe a bunch of teens mocking a Down syndrome, you know, person or something like that, you know, that, you know, boom, you know, that hits right away. But generally, I by nature am that way, and then through the scriptures, it helps me to be less angry.
Right. Injurious. Nice one. Injurious, the word of the day. So, nice. I would say to that I would say amen to what you said, because I remember that you used to have a guy that worked with you and for you, and you used to get angry all the time and yell at him and throw things.
That's why some anger is justified.
and then you get angry at other staff members. You need to take all their stuff out of their office all the time every day. Here's a verse. A gift in secret pacifieth anger. That's pretty good. I like that. You know somebody that's struggling? Maybe they're mad at you. Buy them something. Give them something. Give them a gift. Or I'll tell you what helps me when I get upset. If I buy myself something, there's a store in Canada called Canadian Tire. It's a man's store. It's not so much anymore. They started selling housewares, but it used to be, you know, tires and, you know, hardware and all that kind of stuff. And it had a certain smell to it. It was kind of a mix of tires, paint, and, you know, oil.
Yes.
And you just go in there and you just felt manly. Yeah, you just felt manly when you went in there. And if I ever felt bad, I'd just go in and buy myself a little something at Canadian Tire, buy a new, you know, screwdriver. I just feel better. So sometimes that's true.
Well, the Bible does say in Proverbs that that we should not make friends with an angry person. We should not be around an angry person on a consistent basis, lest they'll learn his ways. And so it shows that it's a little bit of a contagious kind of a thing, to where when you're around angry people, you're going to wind up getting, you know, tendency of being, you know, angered easily as well. So when that's talking about friends, but what do you do if it's a roommate, you know, in college? What do you do if it's if it's a parent and you're a teen? You know, I mean, you're going to move out at, you know, 14? There are some things that we would need to learn, like you said, a gift. A soft answer, turneth away wrath.
Turneth away.
You know, there are times that if you're in a escalating situation, you try to tone it down, and you don't want to, use injurious words or even a despicable tone to, you know, make some volatile situation worse. That's why normally I'm very measured on the podcast, trying to keep you under control. And, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, you know, I blow my stack all the time. I'm such an angry person. Yeah, and it all boils down to this. All sin boils down to one thing, pride. And a lot of times we get angry because of pride. It's not a righteous indignation. It's there's somebody has offended us, somebody said something, somebody did something, and we're upset because it's made us look bad or, you know, taken something away from us that we thought we deserved. And so that's got to be the check. Am I just upset because of pride? And I think if we can see that and assess that and deal with that, then we can not only overcome that anger, we can keep from that anger if we'll work on that. But that takes some work.
It's going to take a lot of work. In situations like these, I do not think that there's anything wrong with some whatever they would call exercises or whatever to keep you from getting angry, you know, counting, walking around the block, doing, you know.
Right.
I don't think there's anything wrong with some of those techniques. It's just you cannot rely on solely those because the problem of our anger, if we understand that we're always angry, it is sinful. And so what do we do to overcome sin? We need the Word and we need the Holy Spirit working in our life. And so that the use of the Word is the active part. And the Holy Spirit working is the inactive part or the surrendering aspect of, you know, it takes the momentum, it takes the initiative to read the Bible and get in it, even if you have to do it 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 times a day because you're angry.
Right.
Read a chapter of the Bible. It takes like in between 8 to 12 minutes to read a chapter of the Bible. And so, you know, spend some time in prayer. But the release or surrender is, Lord, take this away. I want to be used by you. And we are yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God because you don't find any aspect of the fruit of the Spirit being anger, but you do see it as the work of the flesh.
Right. Amen. Well, I will say this and we'll close. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Be not hasty in the spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. If you're struggling with anger all the time, you're going to have a lot of problems in life. You need to let that go. You need to get over it as best you can through the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, and some practical applications given today. You can do it. I am in Indianapolis, Indiana, as I record this at Faith Baptist Church with Brother Jonathan Dellinger and his great people, and had one of his ladies come up after the service last night. So I've just started listening to Tim Talks. My pastor told me about it. I work on an assembly line, and it's awesome just to be able to listen to you guys. So shout out, and that's awesome. I appreciate that. And just some good things from some good folks. So I'm Al Stone, traveling the world, getting almost struck by lightning, waiting to see Dan in a blue polka dot dress.
Yes, we just messed up that whole day's assembly line because we got her laughing, and there's going to be a whole bunch of misassembled parts because she was laughing too hard today. So,
absolutely.
I don't feel like that because of catching up, we didn't quite get too thorough. But on Wednesday, many of the things we're going to be talking about, bitterness, would also apply to anger as well, as far as to try to overcome that. And like you said, it resteth in the bosom of fools. The problem is it's sitting there inside of our heart, inside of our flesh. And so that has to be addressed. And because it's there, it's lodged there. And we need that spiritual daily. We need that spiritual, spiritual work to remove that out of us. So thank you so much for listening.
Right. Yeah. Angela, keep working on the line. Keep the parts going. Don't hurt yourself. This is Tim Talks. We're going to be back on Wednesday. We'll be talking about that next step of bitterness and how that can really tear you up. Thanks for listening. We love that you do. We're so honored that you do.
Yes, we are.
This is the Tim Talks, number one non-preaching, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist podcast of the world.
Of two preachers in two different countries.
Yep.
You got to have that little.
That's
a very minute sub-ranking on Apple. You may not be able to find it, but we are number one,
Yeah, absolutely. In our hearts and minds. Have a great day, eh? We'll be back on Wednesday. Hey, that rhymes.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.